So we are continuing from last time. Last time I spoke on the theme, where is your God? So where is your God? And I said I'll continue next time. Our main scripture last week was Psalm 115. And the question came, why should the heathen say, so where is your God? And God's concern for that, because his name is being blasphemed, his name is being slurred, and people are in anguish looking for him, looking for a solution, whereas he is everything that we need. He is everything humanity needs. And the fact that he has chosen to be revealed to the world through us is why we need to look at this subject carefully. God has revealed himself in the creation. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. But the creation is limited in revelation, in revealing to us the God. There's the rain, the sun. They tell us that his mercies come on us all, whether we are wicked or good, the sun shines on all. But it doesn't bring us to a place where we need to change. And that same Psalm 19 tells us that the law of the Lord is perfect. It begins to give us an understanding that God has revealed himself to us in his word. And God's word was made flesh in Christ Jesus. He came that we might see God. And Christ in me is what must be revealed to the people. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. So that same Psalm 19 tells us that let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be in correspondence to yours, that it will be acceptable. Once our words are acceptable before God, they will be acceptable before men, because men will see God in our words. But I also mentioned that God is determined to change things for his own sake. He said, not for your sake, but for my name's sake. So God is determined to help us. And so there is the instruction in that same psalm that we must return to trust in God. Trust in the Lord. The answer is to trust in the Lord, to abide in the Lord. Jesus put it another way, abide in me. So I want to read from Psalm 115, verses 9 to 11. The topic today is, so where is your God? Abide in me. Abide in me. O Israel, trust in the Lord, for he is their help and shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord, for he is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Hallelujah. Unlike the people of the world, because we realize in that same psalm that the idols of the world, they have no mouth, they can't speak, they can't help the people. But our God is a living God. And unlike the people of the world, we are to put our trust and confidence in God as our help and shield. This is the only way forward. It is the key we need at this crucial time. If we are to see God revealed through us and move on our behalf in the midst of an unbelieving, doubting, mocking, rebellious, and perishing world, then we must put our trust solely in God and nothing else. Solely in God and nothing else, and begin to live a life of faith and trust which will produce fruit in us. I was repeated that if we are to see God revealed through us and move on our behalf in the midst of unbelieving, doubting, mocking, rebellious, and perishing world, then we must put our trust solely in the Lord and begin to live a life of faith and trust which will produce fruit in us. This is our witness to the world that our God is living, he is real, he is accessible, he is powerful, and he is willing. This is what will differentiate us from the world and our God from the gods. Hallelujah. Really, at the moment, they seem not to really care about our God because he has been seeing no evidence. I read a report on the global mega church movement, and part of the report was saying that the West began to turn to Buddhism about 2-3 decades ago. The West began to turn to Buddhism. And looking at why they turn to Buddhism, Buddhism is ritualistic. And we human beings, we like the forms and the things to do and in relating to God. So more people began with the meditating and all of that. And we Christians are not offering them anything, an alternative lifestyle that will lead them to God. So this is what we're talking about. If we are to get the world to believe in our God, then the world must see our God in us. Amen. Amen. So let's look at what Jesus said. Abide in me. Trust in God. And trust in God is what Jesus meant when Jesus said in John chapter 15 verse 4, abide in me. I mean, you know, Jesus was talking about he being the vine, his Father the vine dresser in John 15. And we being the branches. The tree in itself, if you look at a tree, the fruit you don't find on the trunk of the tree. You find the fruit on the branches. The tree, the trunk will produce the branches, and the branches will produce the fruit. If you cut off the branches, there will be no fruit on the tree. You agree with me? Yes. And so that is why it is important that as the branches, we must remain in the trunk, the tree that is Christ Jesus. And in remaining, we must produce fruit. Otherwise, we become like the fig tree that was cursed. So Jesus said in John 7, chapter 15, verse 7 to 8, and I'll be looking at a lot of scriptures. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. This is by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit so that you will be my disciples. Answered prayer, I said last time, is one of the greatest evidences that God exists. That I pray, I say, I speak to the God I don't see. And it comes into manifestation. And I know that it is not a coincidence. And I know that it is supernatural. And the person I'm praying for, or the things I'm, the people who are hearing me speak, know that this could not have come to pass, but for that there is a living God somewhere responding to my prayer. And Jesus is giving us to the key to coming to that place of answered prayer. That if I abide in him, and his words abide in me, I can ask what I desire or will, and it shall be done. And this will bring what? Glory to God. Because God is seeking glory. He's not seeking the rejection. He's not seeking the blasphemy. He's not seeking all the things, the doubt, the unbelief in himself. He's seeking that we would know him. So by this, it's a very simple formula Jesus is giving us. Remain in me and bear fruit. And people will see your fruit and know that I, this tree, I am God. A tree is known by its fruit. So the fruit that we produce is what will identify him as God. Are you with me? Yes. So we must come to the place of abiding, dwelling, remaining and resting in Jesus and his word. The word. Indeed, Jesus is the word. The world's mockery will cease when they see God revealed and demonstrated through us, the church. The mockery will cease. It's as simple as that. So answered prayer is critical. And that God wants to deal with us with this. In John 16, verses 23 to 24, he says, and in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Are you with me? Yes. Look, you will realize that when you go beyond yourself and your needs, you realize you ask God for very little. If you should decide, I'm not going to pray for myself again. And you need to pause because you realize that you really haven't been asking for much, only for your needs. When you can ask for much. So when Jesus is saying, until now you have asked nothing, in my name. It's not saying I haven't asked for shoes or bags, but there is a wider spectrum of things I can bring to him that will cause people to see that he is God. Are you with me? And we'll look at that in the moment. Now, the answered prayer is a promise, is an unshakable promise. Throughout the scriptures, Jesus consistently promised us answered prayer. It's a promise from Jesus himself to us that the Father would hear and answer our prayers as evidence of his own relationship with the Father and his relationship with us. The evidence that Jesus is the Son of God and God is his Father is that when we who are in him call upon him, he will answer, because it's like he is asking. This is the foundation for prayer. This is our foundation for asking God for anything that Jesus promised us. Jesus made promises to us. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 to 11, verse 7 to 11, he says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it shall be opened. Or what man is there among you? If his son asks for bread, will give him a stone. Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? It's very simple. So ask, seek, knock. And when you go beyond yourself, you will know that you can ask for the people in your office. Father, I ask for their salvation. Father, I ask that there will be a witness of you in through my life in this place. Father, I ask. Ask. Seek.
Praise God.
Knock. And you'll get a response. Jesus said to us, in John 14, verse 12 to 14, he said, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. That's a sure promise, that once you believe in him and the works that he himself did, and we will do even greater works. So that's one thing to be asking for. Lord, let your greater works be seen in me. Ask and you will receive. And he says, whatever you ask in my name, the greater works. We bring this thing down again to our knees. But he was talking about the works, the compassion, the goodness he showed, the healings, the blessings he released, feeding the 5,000 and more. He's saying that you will do even greater than these. And the people saw it. They witnessed to it. It got to a time, even the Pharisees, some of them were asking, could this be? Could this be? Nicodemus came quietly.
Yes.
Because they are seeing. He said, if you do not believe me, believe because of the works you see. And Jesus is saying that the greater works will be seen in us if we will just ask in his name. Ask. So answered prayer is a promise. John 15, 16, he said, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. It's the same thing he's saying. And what we read earlier in John 16, 23, that whatever we ask in the Father, he will do it. Until now, we have not asked. But now is the time to ask. We're going to ask for our families. We're going to ask for our communities. We're going to ask for nations. He said, ask of me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance. It's time to ask. You see, unanswered prayer is so easy to put the blame on God. We have a catalog of unanswered prayer. All of us. It's easy even to say maybe it's not God's time yet. We give excuses whilst ignoring our own unbelief and doubt. Our unanswered prayers an affront to Jesus' promises because they make him a liar. But if we are to become effective witnesses of God, we must go beyond our unbelief and doubt. We must go beyond our unanswered prayers to connect and engage with God in an effective and tangible way. We must do what it takes to get our prayers answered because God answers prayer. Jesus did not only say it, he demonstrated it. Last week we referred to, two Sundays ago when the message I preached, Speak to the Mountain. He spoke, he said, Lazarus, he stood before there and said, Father, I know that you hear me, but because of these people, I will say it. Lazarus, come forth. Jesus demonstrated it and the people saw it. Hallelujah. So we must also do whatever it takes. We must do what it takes to get rid of the unbelief. Jesus said, this type does not come, go, except by what? Fasting and prayers. So if we need to fast, we're going to fast. And say, Lord, I know you answer prayer. Deal with my unbelief. Deal with doubt in me. Deal with anything that hinders you from responding. God's ears are not deaf. Neither is his arm short, but it is us. We're changing that. So let's come to, if you abide in me, what Jesus said. In the Amplified Bible, John 15:7, Jesus said, if you live in me, if you abide vitally united to me, and my words remain in you and continue to live in your heart, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done to you. Hallelujah. It seems very straightforward, but because we want to really come into these things, I want us to break this simple verse down. Jesus said, if you abide, what does abide in the Greek is meno. I'm doing a bit of teaching today. Abide. If you dwell and live in me, it means to remain and tarry. All of last week, I kept hearing the word for the past 2 weeks. Tarry in me. Tarry. To tarry is to stay back and remain in me and not to depart. Jesus said to his disciples, tarry. Don't go yet. Tarry. Wait on me until the Spirit comes. To abide is to continue to be present. Is to continue to be present. Is to hold on to continually and keep continually. Is to endure in me. Wait for me. Abide. Jesus is saying that if you dwell in me, if I become your dwelling place and your home. Many of us don't dwell in the Lord. In fact, many of us are often prodigal. When we have problems, where do we turn to first? We turn to the bottle of paracetamol. We turn to the doctor. We turn to the banks. We turn everywhere else. We turn to our families. We turn to, and often coming to Jesus is the last thing we do. We don't remain, even when we've prayed, it is not enough for us that I have prayed, I will wait for the answer. We move out of that. Look at how many promises. The Lord showed me how many promises. I was even listening to some of the prophecies that have been given to us. And we have not remained in those prophecies. When God has given us a word, for instance, this word from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, that he is able to make all grace abound, that having all sufficiency, we will have more than enough for every good work. That is a promise. That is a revelation of God's intention. Do we remain in that? Do we stand on it? Do we endure? Do we pray it into our lives? God has said that some of us will own businesses. Has it even crossed our minds? Have we imagined it? Have we perceived it? Have we grasped it? Have we believed it and stayed with it and stayed with the word, ridden on the word through every storm, every challenge, every opposition, every resistance, wrote upon the word? Have we done that? That God said. But Jesus is saying that if you will abide in me, if you you will stop going elsewhere looking for solutions, ways, and means. If you will stop constantly leaving home, because home is His word. Home is He Himself, because He's the word. He lives in us and we live in Him. Then, if you will abide in me, then you will see. Hallelujah. Amen. For instance, the word tells us, do not be anxious about anything. That is a sure word for God. But that in everything, by prayer and supplication, make your request known to God. Before we even tell God, we tell others. That's are you with me?
Yes.
But the instruction is that, what? Don't even be anxious, but bring the problem to me. We get anxious and forfeit our peace of mind. In our anxiety, we turn to friends, other means of comfort. The people of the world turn to alcohol and drugs and turn to all kinds of things. But we will turn to our friends. And so we are no different. Sometimes we even go to the people of the world with we speak the same language as them. And we forfeit, so we are no longer an example to them that Jesus is the Prince of Peace, abiding and dwelling in me. We turn to other means of comfort or help. And then we take decisions and make moves which do not correspond to God's will for us, because anxiety led us instead of the word leading us. Are you with me? But to abide does not mean to do nothing. I'm not saying don't do nothing. This is where it is not a passive state of affairs where you're just sitting down and doing nothing. To abide is an active state and lifestyle of trust. It's an active state and it's a lifestyle of trust. It's a lifestyle of growing in the knowledge of God and in faith and in confidence in God. So you may be at this you may be at the entrance of, if let's say the word of God is a house and I've come in, maybe I'm just at the entrance now, but I'm pressing in to come into the living room, to sit down, take a seat in Christ. Are you with me? And then move into various, yes, but at least you are in the house. So growing in the knowledge of God, growing in faith and confidence in God, is a lifestyle of prayer, praise, worship, and thanksgiving. And is a lifestyle, abiding, dwelling, is a lifestyle of personal transformation. Growing in love, growing in patience, growing in knowledge, perseverance, and endurance. In fact, as I was preparing this, 2 Peter came to my mind, chapter. And let me tell you, this thing about this verse, John 15 verse 7, I have studied over. These are notes from years back when God began to teach me to enter into rest in Him, to see greater works come through my life. In 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 2 to 8, it says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by His grace and virtue, by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these we may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Are we understanding what the scripture is saying?
Yes.
That things have been provided by God. That is, it should be able to cause us to live life and godliness by knowing Him, by growing in Him, and through the great promises that He has given us, that we will become partakers of the divine nature, we'll become more and more like Him. We are of the vine, then we must look like the vine, and produce the fruit of the vine, that we are growing more and more like Him. And not like the world. Verse 5 says, but also for this reason, because of this, giving all diligence, Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours, if you remain in these things, if you abide in these things and abound in these things, you will never be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a perfect formula for fruitfulness, for producing the works that the world will see. This is the formula. Abide in the promises. All things have already been given. Stay, remain in them. The things that pertain to life and godliness. Remain in them. And cause grow continually in them. Hallelujah. Amen. So abiding is a lifestyle of belief, faith, and trust in Jesus Christ and His Word. Abiding is a lifestyle of belief and of faith and trust in Jesus Christ and His Word. And we know that if you abide in me, so I'm abiding now, He says His Word. Here, my word is the Rhema. Is the Word of God firstly revealed through the Scriptures. So it means that I'm staying in the Scriptures. I'm reading my Bible. I'm meditating on it. I'm memorizing it. I'm applying it to my life daily. If I abide in the Word, in the Scriptures. I'm looking for solutions in the Scriptures. Not on Google. Mm-hmm. Not from friends. But I'm turning to the Lord through the Scriptures for answers to the world's problems. Are you with me? My Word also refers to the promises, as we've just read in Peter. The promises of God revealed through the Word. So I take my Bible and I'm looking for what God has promised. I look at the situation. What has God promised concerning my unsaved family? And I'm going to make that my foundation. That's what I am standing on. What has God promised concerning my community? Yes. What has God promised concerning my nation? I'm going to look for that. And I'm going to stand on that. And I'm going to wait on that. And I'm going to ask, and I'm going to seek, and I will find, and I will see it come into manifestation. That same my word is the Word of God that is given by utterance through the Holy Spirit. So prophecies and things, what has God said? What prophecies have you received? Abide in the prophecy. Remain in what God has said. We're giving a word of prophecy, we throw it away, and we go back to mourning, complaining, telling God, you are not. What has God said? From the beginning of the year, I have been abiding in the my books of prophecy, I carry along with me everywhere. I've been going over, I've been looking at my ordination, the things that were said, that God would do with me. I've been looking at them. And I realize that I need to remain in them, to go over them, to press in, to ask God to prepare me, and then begin to speak it out and pray it out. And every opportunity I get now, I pray for the sick. Because God has said that He will use me to heal the sick. Are you with me? So the promises, the prophecies. Peter tells us that the prophecy is like a lamp in the darkness given to us until the light comes. Are you with me? So if we dim that lamp, even though we have been given that word, we will continue to walk in darkness. But that word, that prophecy is a lamp to guide you even before you've seen it. It's the evidence that God is doing something. We cannot afford not to abide in that, to endure in that, not to wait in that. It also refers, the word refers to the teachings of Christ. Second John chapter 1 verse 9 tells us, my word refers to Jesus, the Word of God. If you remain in Christ, not only do we remain and abide in Him, He abides in us. And this is the work of the Holy Spirit in us. That I am in Him and He is in me. I'm waiting in him, and he's waiting in me. He's enduring in me. He's been transformed in me. We sang the song, Love Divine, All Loves Excel. It says, change from glory into glory. There is a transformation that will take place as we abide in the Word. The Word will begin to form in us, will begin to abide in us, and we become more and more Christ-like, and we will see, people will see him in us. 1 John chapter 4 verse 13 says, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. His Spirit in us. Let us live the Spirit-led life. Let us allow the Spirit to have his place in our lives. Let us have the Spirit, allow the Spirit to lead and guide us. Let us consult. How do we allow that? We consult with the Holy Spirit. Whenever I get, if I panic or I'm fearful, I turn to the Spirit. If something bothers me, I say, Holy Spirit, let me have your comfort. I am continually pressing in to make the Spirit of God my first consultation. The first person I consult with about anything. Because he is Christ to me. The Father sent him as Christ in my life. Jesus is in heaven. His Spirit is on earth in me. And so to abide in him and he abide in me, I need to connect with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 3, my favorite scripture, verses 14 to 17. It says, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell, may abide in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, we will know the extent of love. But the key is that Christ will come and abide as the Spirit works in us, as we allow the Spirit to work in us. The God out of the treasury of his glory, what is his glory? His mercy, his goodness, his kindness, his justice, that God will work these things in me. That Christ, he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And he was not talking to unbelievers. He was talking to the church. That he's standing out of the church knocking. Could he be standing out of your heart knocking? Then it's time to say, Holy Spirit, prepare that he might come in and make his abode in me. Christ in me. The hope of glory. And this is what the people will see. So we've looked at what? If you abide in me. And then we've looked at the word, my words. It says, you shall ask. And we'll spend some time in this ask. Because that's the problem. You will ask. In the Greek, it's aiteo. A-I-T-E-O. It means to ask. To beg, to call for, crave, desire, or require. To ask, beg, call for something. You know, you go to a restaurant and you call the waiter because you want a drink. It's to crave, have a yearning, a desire, or to require a need. So, in the Greek, this word, ask, suggests the attitude of a suppliant, somebody, a lesser being, pleading with a bigger being. So it's a petition of one who is lesser in position than he to whom the petition is made. Like a child asking of a parent. Do you get me? So I know I don't have it. I know I am not there yet. I know I need you. It's us and God. So ask is that is not of equals, but of one of a lower, a lesser being, petitioning. So that's the word ask. What you will. So you will petition, you will beg or desire or require what you will. You will petition, let me repeat it. You're petitioning, you are asking, or you are desiring or craving or requiring from God, what you will. And what you will is theo. T-H-E-I-O. It means what you have in mind, what you determine, what you intend, or what you purpose, what you will ask, look up to God and ask Him or desire from Him what I determine, what I have purpose, what I intend, what I desire, what I love, what will bring me pleasure, what I am fond of doing. Okay? Now, this is not magic. What I will. I come to a place, what's on my heart, I can ask the Father and He will. It's not a magic formula. It is the product of my growing, you know, of my abiding, of and growing. Because I said abide is what? An active lifestyle. That will produce in me desires that when I stand before God, it's like my pleasure. God giving me my pleasure. It is a product of growing in the knowledge of God and a product of our relationship with Him. It does not merely mean just asking for anything, material things, because we've been for a long time told, oh, you'll ask what you will, what I want. I want a gallon of beer today with pork chops, and the Bible says I will ask what I will, and I'm annoyed that God hasn't answered His prayer. That's foolishness. Are you with me? Yes. It is about what you determine and purpose. This morning the Holy Spirit was explaining it further to me. What you determine and purpose and have in mind concerning God and concerning His kingdom plans and purposes. You will ask what you ever you will. How do I know? The Holy Spirit brought this to me. That we have reduced this to ourselves. We've reduced this thing that Jesus said to ourselves and our needs. But it's more than that. It goes beyond that. You see, in Matthew 16, verse 19, Jesus said, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth has been bound in heaven. And whatever you lose on earth is loosed in heaven. That's authority and power to enforce heaven's will on the earth. He's not saying that, and it's like what you will, what I will. Whatever I will bind on earth, because I'm so in tune with heaven that I know heaven's will and I bring it forth. Heaven's will is my will. I am willing that there will be change in this nation. I'm willing that there will be change in this community. It is my will that my family will be saved. Why? Because the word tells me that I'll be saved with my whole household. That God does not wish for anybody to perish. Amen. So whatever I will. Jesus said even in Matthew 18:18 that assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you lose on the earth will be loosed in heaven. So you determine what you want for your family according to the word you are abiding in. You determine what you want. That you want your friend saved. For instance, you turn to the Father, standing on His word, you will have that answered. You want your family to see more Christ-likeness in you. Father, change me. I will to be changed. So Father, change and transform me. Make me more kind. Make me more compassionate. You will have that prayer answered. Is it making sense? You determine you want change. So you start walking your street and you're enforcing, you're calling upon the Father that His will be done. Your kingdom come in mine. You will get the answer. It will be answered. Hallelujah. So it is about what we determine and purpose and have in mind concerning God. My will. I will have whatever I will. And my will must be what I have in mind concerning God and concerning His kingdom and concerning His plans and purposes. I will explain further as we go on. Now, I want to state some conditions for asking. It says, you'll ask what you will, but there are some conditions for asking what we will. First of all, we must ask in faith. ask in faith. Because if you don't ask in faith, it's a wasted thing. You wasted your breath. It means that we must believe God and believe his promises and ask based upon his promises. And ask, holding on to the Lord and his word. Ask in faith, holding on to the Lord and his word. James chapter 1, verse 5 to 6. It says, if any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask. Ask God. And who gives all liberally and without reproach, and it shall be given to him. Let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, tossed, driven and tossed by the wind. So Solomon asked for wisdom. Look how people saw God in everything. Solomon's wisdom. So ask for wisdom. And don't ask doubting. And people will see that you are a wise person. And they will ask you, how come you are so wise? And you say, the word of God is my guide. They will see it in you. So ask in faith. In Mark 11, 24, it says, therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Faith is the assurance and evidence of the things we have not seen. Hallelujah. Amen. So ask in faith. Secondly, we must ask aright, holding on to the Lord and his word. Ask aright, holding on to the Lord and his word. James chapter 4, verse 2 to 3 says, you lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. That's why I'm saying that it's not about needs. Yes, we do ask for our needs. And he as a faithful father meets them. But if we ask casually in the sense of, oh, God answers prayer, we will not. If we ask merely so that we will have I want money, give me money, Lord. Like my a friend from the past said, Lord, just give me the money and watch me spend it. Are you with me? I mean, God is not going to answer. He said, watch me. And I said, I will teach you, show you how to spend it. God, of course, will not be answering such a prayer. Hallelujah. But we ask according, you know, we've already abiding. And he's abiding. And the word is abiding. That's why I said, holding on to him and his word. So as we ask according to his will, which has become our will. And it shall be answered. His will is revealed to us by his spirit, by his word, by his same promises. It will be answered. John chapter 5, verse 14, 15, and 16. It says, now this is the confidence we have in him. First John. If we have this confidence, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we will have the petitions that we have asked for. It's so straightforward. It's a confidence we should have that if I ask anything according to his will, he said he will bless us. He will heal us. So if I'm asking for healing, he said I should lay hands on the sick, they will recover. So if I'm laying hands on the person and I'm asking, I should have that confidence that because he has said it, it will, yes, if it doesn't happen this time, I'm not going to get discouraged. I will do it again. I will do it again. I will continue doing it until, hallelujah, amen. So, one of the things when you're asking that could guide you is the Lord's Prayer. Jesus gave us a clear path in approaching God and asking. That's why I said it's his kingdom plans and purposes that must become our will. That we are pressing in. Jesus said, our Father in heaven. Mm-hmm. Approach God as Father. May your kingdom come. Ask after the kingdom. Hallelujah. Amen. It says, may your kingdom come. So I pray concerning that. May your kingdom come. I'm asking, may your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth. So the Lord's Prayer is a perfect way of asking according to the will of God. May your will be done on earth. May your will be done in my family. May your will be done in this nation. May your kingdom come. We're saying that what? God wants his name defended amongst the heathen. God wants to be revealed. And we are looking at the path to coming to that. That if we are able to bring ourselves to alignment in God's word and will and remain there concerning God's plans and purposes for our families, our communities, and we may actualize that in us and make that our own will, whatever we ask the Father, he will do. And I'm saying that, ask according to the Lord's Prayer. Give us our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. And lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Even the internal changing going on in us. Father, make me more Christ-like. Father, work your fruit in me. Do you think he will not answer? Hallelujah. So ask according to the Lord's Prayer. Ask aright. And I'm still looking at ask aright. And asking according to the Lord's Prayer is asking aright. That's the whole teaching on its own. Then 1 Timothy 2, 1-3 tells us, therefore I exhort, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks to be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that they may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God. Ask according to that. Pray that the unbelievers will see that the church will become more and more. Yeah, Christ-like. Pray. And these are some of the things we have been praying in our quiver groups. And we are beginning to see God answer. Are you with me? So ask according to the word. Ask. It says that what? For kings, those who are in authority. How many times do we pray for the government? And what do we pray for the government? Europe. How do we pray for Europe? Coming out of Europe thing. Do we know the will of God concerning it? That we will pray accordingly. Hallelujah. Amen. It says, well, this is good. It says what? For kings and all who are in authority, that they may lead a peaceable and quiet life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God. I must quickly finish this. Thirdly, we ask in confidence and with expectation. Don't ask not expecting an answer, because that's unbelief. Ask with confidence and in confidence and with expectation, still holding on to the Lord and his word. Ephesians 3:20 says, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we might ask or think. This is the confidence that the one we are coming to is able to do more than we can even ask. Hebrews 4:15-16 also tells us that we can come boldly because of our high priest, boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and help. Number four, ask in obedience, still holding on to the word, the Lord and his word. 1 John 3:22, it says, whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Why? Because we are abiding in the word and the word is abiding. So we ask in obedience. Then ask trusting. Ask trusting. Having a confidence in God's character, in his ability, in his strength and his power. Hold on to the word. So don't ask casually. Ask in faith, believing that it will happen. Ask aright, holding on to the promises, holding on to how Jesus told us to ask, holding on to what Paul said to Timothy. Go through the scriptures and look, there's so many instructions. Even Isaiah 58 tells us when we are fasting, the attitude we are to have when fasting with the aim of setting people free. That is something to go and study, that if I want my community saved, I'm going to fast. And in fasting, I'm going to pray that God will set them free. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. And then they will begin to see. Then we come to, we've looked at, if you abide in me and my word, you will ask. The next thing we look at is, shall be done. it shall be done. The Greek word is ginomai, G-I-N-O-M-A-I. It shall come into being. It shall become. It shall receive being. What you have asked with your mouth shall receive what? Being. It shall take on flesh. Are you with? It shall come to pass. It shall happen. It shall be made and finished. And it shall be performed as of miracles. So when we follow this pattern, what we are saying shall come into being. Like a plant, you see a bud coming. The bud will begin to unfold. You see a blossom. The next thing you see, you're seeing flowers. Next thing you're seeing fruit. It shall come. What you're asking for shall come into being. Isaiah 65, 24 tells us, it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. And this is a sure promise. We just haven't been positioning ourselves to bring this into manifestation. God is a God of honor. And God is a God of his word. And God wants his name on it. And he wants his word believed in. So he is poised. I think it's in Isaiah. Is it Isaiah 31? Where it says that the Lord waits that he may be gracious to you. He is poised waiting for us to take the step and take the stand. And see what he will do through us. That we will become a witness, a testimony of God's goodness, of his mercy, of his faithfulness. Oh, a testimony that we have a God who is living, who is active in the affairs of men. A testimony that we have a God who is all-powerful, who is omnipotent, who is strong and mighty, who can do all things. An unchangeable, unshakable God who is in control of all things. And is not a figment of our imagination. Because we are bringing into manifestation the character and characteristics and nature and essence of our God. That God is, you see, this is how God is honored and glorified. This is how the people in our streets will begin to turn to righteousness. This is how governments will change and do righteous laws. Because they are now beginning, the church is becoming an example and revealing God to them. Hallelujah. The final scriptures I want to read. John 15 verse 7 to 8. Again, the scriptures we've looked at where Jesus said. The Amplified, I'll read again. Says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you. That is, if we are vitally united and my message lives in your heart. Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified and honored. They won't ask, where is your God? They will glorify God with you. They will praise him with you. Says, my Father is honored by this. When you bear much fruit, because that is our fruit. That is, the word will produce fruit in us. When you bear my fruit and prove yourselves to be my true disciples, they will know that we are disciples of Jesus Christ. The New Living Translation puts it this way. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it shall be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. It doesn't bring blasphemy. It brings praise. It brings thanksgiving. It brings joy. It brings transformation to the Father. Matthew 5:16. Let your light shine, so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. This is the light that will shine. That the word, we're dwelling in the word. And the word is dwelling in us. And as a result of that, there is fruit coming. Everything we speak forth, the Father endorses. For the word is light. And the light that shines in the darkness begins to shine through us. And people see it and give glory to the Father. Through our lifestyle, us, through me, through you, ordinary us, and through our lifestyle, and through our witness of dependence on God, and dependence on His Word, and of allowing the Word to transform our everyday speech, our conduct, our behaviors, our actions, allowing the Word, that compassion, love, mercy, all these things are being coming forth of who God is. Through that, God will be revealed to the world. And we will begin to see change take place all around us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.